Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sports and All That Chaz, a radio blog that discusses local Chicago and national sports. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, you name it, we talk about it. I'm your host, David Chaznov, and joining me today is Colin Six. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, David.
Yeah, no problem. So tonight, we went to the United Center and saw the Blackhawks and Devils square off, and the Blackhawks came up short in this one, losing 3-2. What were your thoughts on the game?
Well, from a Blackhawks perspective, it's definitely a disappointing loss. You dominated the entire game and definitely dominated time of possession for most of the game, and you end up not getting any points out of it. Those are games that you have to win, especially against a subpar New Jersey Devils team that's probably not going to make the playoffs. That's a win you need to get.
Yeah, exactly. The New Jersey Devils swept the season series versus the Hawks tonight. Other than, Kane and Panarin and Artem Anisimov, there is a problem with this Blackhawks offense. They cannot seem to produce when the first and second lines aren't out there on the ice.
It's just an overall lack of depth. You see what the salary cap does to the roster, and it definitely depletes your third and fourth lines. There's going to have to be some type of offensive, just something to just push this offense to the next level. It's you called up Marco Dano. Hopefully he sparks something up for the Hawks, but it's going to take him time. He's still a young guy, and he probably needs to be in Rockford to develop a little bit more.
Exactly. I think that the Hawks, they kind of need to take this approach the Cubs way. They had to give their players, their young group of guys, time to develop themselves in Rockford. And I think that, to be honest, Stan Bowman, Coach Quenville, they're rushing these young players. Like Marco Dano, he does not seem ready yet for the big show. And that seemed to be the point tonight. And there's also Victor Svedberg, big 6'8" defenseman. He was on the first line tonight with Brent Seabrook, and yet he still did not seem to make an impact, which I found very frustrating.
Well, it's definitely the case with injuries. Let's not say Dano didn't play well. I mean, he was very physical. He, despite being young, he threw the body around. He had 4 hits tonight, and those hits were very, very solid. For Svedberg, he's just got to get his legs going. Definitely not ready for handling top 6 forwards. But once Keith and Roosevelt come back into the lineup, then it'll be a different situation. Maybe he can handle the bottom 6 and support the Blackhawks the best way he can.
So tonight's game, Adam Henrique was on the short end of the fight in last week's game with Blackhawks captain Jonathan Toews, and teams met in New Jersey. Henrique got a little revenge tonight when he scored a goal in the second period to tie the game 1-1. And Henrique came to the slot and just fired a shot past Corey Crawford for his 8th goal of the season. And we just saw the replay. I thought it was a very weak goal let up by Corey Crawford, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's not a goal you let in if you're a three-time Stanley Cup winner and Corey Crawford. Henrique, his main goal was just to get it on net. He had no other passing options, just shoot on net. Didn't even look like a legit shot. He just shot it high, just sailed right over Crawford's blocker and went in. Big goal, and definitely changed the momentum entering the second period.
And just what I saw from this game was that, the Hawks are really missing out on Duncan Keith and Victor Svedberg. I mean, from the other side of the ice, like the New Jersey Devils knew what they were doing with their defense. I mean, for crying out loud, the Hawks took up till 22 seconds left in their first power play, which was a 5-on-3 to score a goal. So that definitely means, that the Hawks, they weren't as confident with their offense tonight. And that needs to change early on, so that way they can get their mojo going.
Well, they pretty much limited the Devils. The Devils didn't generate much offense whatsoever until the final third period. They generated 9 shots in the third period. For the longest time, the Devils scored 3 goals on only 11 shots. Maybe it was 2 goals on 11 shots, but it was definitely a weak performance by Corey Crawford. You know, if you have a depleted defense, you got to rely on your starting netminder to bail you out in these situations, and he's just not the type of goalie to do that, and it was pretty evident tonight. All three were just questionable goals. The first one, obviously, we just talked about, and then the second two were just rebounds that, you know, you have to make the save or you have to kick it out into the corner. Just don't leave it right in front of the slot.
Right. And so basically, a lot of, you know, room for improvement for the Blackhawks, you know, for the rest of the first half of the season. Next few games, they play St. Louis, Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver. You know, besides St. Louis, I think there's a lot of room, you know, to really put your young guys out there and make them used to, you know, playing on the AHL ice.
Well, right now, they're buried in the standings, and the Central Division is a gauntlet. You have to win some of these games like New Jersey if you want to get the step ahead. Right now, they're placed sixth in the Central Division, and 1 point away from being in the wild card spot. Right now, they're out of the playoffs. Yes, it's early, but it's still a sign of how tough the Central Division is going to be for the rest of the year. Dallas, Nashville, St. Louis, Winnipeg, all powerhouse teams. If Chicago wants to, you know, they have the talent to get into the playoffs again, but they're going to have to up their game, and definitely when their players get healthy, have to take advantage of the time that they'll be on the ice. You know, Vancouver's not going to be an easy game either. They're the head of the Pacific Division. Edmonton's a struggling team without their star, Connor McDavid. I believe Calgary's the other team. Calgary's still trying to get their footing. Still a talented team, just trying to find their identity right now. But the Hawks are going to have a tough next few games. And is it a road trip or is it just all home games?
Yeah, most of those games are on the road, except for Calgary, which is at home.
Yeah, so that's definitely not going to be super easy whatsoever.
Right, and the Blackhawks will be playing the St. Louis Blues at home Saturday night. And last game against the Blues, I believe they blew a 5-2, no, it was a 3-goal lead, I think. And I saw your tweet that night. I said, the Hawks just blew a 5-2 lead and lost in overtime 6-5. That is the Central Division. Explain that.
Yeah, like I was just saying, the Central Division is just a gauntlet. You know, anything can happen in that division. There's just so much talent all throughout the rosters and definitely great coaching. If you look at all seven of those teams, with the exception of Colorado, they deserve to be, if you knock out Colorado, it would be six teams. All six of those teams deserve to be in the playoffs. However, that's not going to be the case. Maybe only four make the playoffs. Maybe, and at most, five can make the playoffs. But just so much talent. You look at St. Louis, led by Vladimir Tarasenko, David Backes, two stud goalies, and Allen and Elliott. Dallas, they had the star power and offensive power needed to just outscore opponents in games. And Minnesota, they're still solid from top to bottom. Nashville, led by Pekka-Rinne, Shea Weber, Roman Josi. That's a trio that you definitely don't want to mess with as an offensive team. And obviously Winnipeg, they've got a lot of youth talent, and they're going to be a special team for the next few years.
And the Blackhawks really seem to miss Duncan Keith and Michael Roosevelt tonight. And Duncan Keith is actually, he has a possibility of coming back in Saturday night's game. Just talk about, you know, the impact that he'll make on the team.
Well, Duncan Keith, he's a game changer. You know, you'd go as far to say that he's one of the best defensemen in the league. He can move the puck very well. He knows how to shut down top lines. Very smart player, very intelligent, great skater as well. Duncan Keith, when he's paired with Brent Seabrook, they complement each other fairly well. And he knows how to play hockey, too. He can score as well. So it's not just the defensive aspects of it. He knows how to rip it from the point. And, you know, having him out of the lineup has definitely shown that the defense is very porous in its depth. And once he comes back, it's going to be a completely different team, I believe.
Right. You had guys like Erik Gustafsson and Svedberg, and even, you know, Rundblad and Ben Reimsdyk playing tonight. And they've been playing this basically this whole season because they've been battling injury issues. And it just seems that, you know, these guys may need some more Rockford time. And they may be – I wouldn't be shocked if they were sent down to Rockford come the time that Rosenthal and Keith are fully healthy and ready to go.
Well, you just look at the time on ice. It looks like, I mean, obviously, Jalmerson, Davey, Seba, they're locks to stay in there. TVRs, they're probably going to stay. You know, Svedberg, he's a question mark. I mean, I think you still keep him up here, obviously, but yeah, Gustafson, he's definitely going down. He needs some time to marinate in the AHL. But Svedberg, he, once Rosenthal comes back, he'll be, you know, the seventh guy. And I think that defense will be just good enough to, you know, pull out a few wins. Definitely not a powerhouse defense, but it's solid enough to, get games and win them.
And, you know, the main reason why the Hawks have been so successful these past few seasons is mainly because of their defense. You know, without Corey Crawford, without the defense supporting Corey Crawford, I don't think Corey Crawford would have those three rings that he already has. I think it's two. Yeah, it's two rings. Yeah, two rings. But other than that, just as a whole, without Crawford, even in the Niemi years, this Blackhawks team is built on defense. Sure, they have Toews, Kane, Hossa, but this team, when it comes down to it, they're going to be the team that makes their goaltender look great regardless of his skill, so to speak.
Well, I think that's a testament to how Coach Quenneville coaches. You know, it's not just the defense that helps out on the defensive side. It's the offense as well. When you've got the greatest captain in hockey, Jonathan Toews, that guy back checks harder than he does move up the ice in offensive plays. The guy knows how to shut down an opposing center. You know, he's a great guy to have as your third guy and, you know, down low if on a back check. So having Toews, you know, he does so much for you. You know, you can't really see it on the stat sheet, but there's no one that back checks harder than him.
And you mentioned Victor Svedberg. You know, when I saw him tonight, 6'8", 238 pounder, you know, he has the potential to really make a name for himself in this league, and that's only because of his size. And when I see him, I think of Daniel Chara. And I know that they're two completely different players, but they're the same size, and Svedberg just has to, you know, get more physical in order to make himself more useful on the ice.
I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say that Svedberg is a Chara-esque player. Svedberg is definitely not as strong as Chara. He's got the same height, but he's a toothpick out there. He's not going to be the guy who's going to be physical and throw the body around. He's just got a very large reach, and he knows how to push players to the outside, and that's how he's gotten to this level. You know, you can't say that he's a terrible player, but when you're 6'8", you've got a heck of a reach, and you can, you know, you can use that to your advantage. I mean, obviously, he's still young. He's 24. He can grow into his body and definitely work on it more in the off season. But right now, he's just, you know, I'm sure Coach Quenneville and the training staff will definitely have him bulk up by next season.
Yeah, and I think the Hawks just miss those, you know, heavy pounding players like Brian Bickle right now, like other players around the team. You know, this team hasn't really been the heavy, grinding, hitty team over the past few seasons. So I think that they need some more physicality, you know, on the ice. And players like Andrew Shaw, Toews, Anisimov, they haven't been able to show that physicality. And I think that's why maybe they've been losing such tough games.
Well, they were out hit tonight 54-24. Now, that's a big physical difference. The Devils, I mean, obviously, you can go as far to say that the Devils out-hit the Blackhawks because they didn't have possession of the puck. But, you know, to be out-hit by 30 hits, that's an impressive margin for the Devils. You know, the league is definitely going away from the physical type of play. It's more about skill and speed, and the Hawks are kind of gearing for it, but those players just aren't, you know, they're too young to be in a situation where they're comfortable playing in the NHL. It's a different level compared to the AHL, and it's evident in the way that Dano plays. You can, the one exception is Art Panarin. Panarin, what a special kid he is. The goal tonight he had, just a snipe with maybe 5 inches of space over Schneider's shoulder. What an incredible kid. You definitely don't miss Brandon Saad too much after seeing Panarin.
Right. Just talking about the old Blackhawks players from last year, I heard someone behind me say that, the Hawks miss Patrick Sharp. And that's something I thought about to myself. Patrick Sharp is always – he was that go-to player for the Hawks. He didn't really score that much in the playoffs. But when his name was called, he delivered. And the Hawks really need that, guy. And Artemi Panarin has turned into that go-to player for the Blackhawks. And that's a very positive note for him. He has really he's really reached up to his expectations, and I think that's going to be key going moving on further into the season.
Well, Patrick Sharp, he's now given the responsibility of playing on the first line in Dallas. He has 14 points in 17 games. Definitely a talented player. In Chicago, he would play on the second line, beside Kane and. Occasionally on the third line if the depth was solid enough. I think Panarin, he's definitely an upgrade, and he's much younger. Missing Sharp, I don't know if I would go as far to say that. I think he missed Saad a little bit more. Sharp was just on the down end of his career, and he needed a new landscape to revive it. I don't think Chicago was the place for him.
And I was just saying it because I think right now the Hawks just miss their veterans. They're not used to making the young players play as much because Quenneville, he really likes to ride his veteran group of guys. And that's why you see the third and fourth lines not out there a lot in these games so far. You see Joel Quenneville relying on his veteran core group of players. And I think that this team just needs, a lot of more time to just find their area in the ice.
I think another aspect of the game that may be overlooked is Artem Anisimov. He's the new second-line center for the Hawks. One of the key reasons for puck possession and generating offense starts off with winning faceoffs, and tonight he was absolutely brutal in the dot. He won only 4 of 14, and that's not what you want from your second-line center. Obviously, Jonathan Toews was stellar in the dot, but when you have your second-line center not winning draws for you, what do you expect from your third and fourth liners? The depth just isn't there, and maybe Anisimov is a little bit too big for his britches on the second line, and maybe he has to move down to the third line, and there's some assets available on the trade block right now. If the Hawks want to go after him, maybe Matt Duchene, maybe Patrick Marleau, but being pressed against the cap, they're definitely not in the ideal situation.
Right. They suffered a downfall like this after the 2010 Stanley Cup. They definitely lost a lot of core. They definitely lost their core group of guys due to their salary cap. And it kind of makes you question that Brandon Saad trade and getting Anisimov. People were saying Anisimov was a face-off guru, and tonight he really did not show that. And, it's just, us Blackhawks fans, we're happy as a team, three cups in six seasons, unbelievable. But sometimes, you just question, will this team ever, come back after such a salary cap, downfall?
Well, just looking at the salary cap figures right now, they only have $4.3 million in cap space. And with Duncan Keith and Michael Roosevelt on IR, that's erased. But once he comes back, he'll have zero room on the cap or in cap space to make any moves. So they're pretty much handcuffed for the rest of the season. They can maybe move a few players up and down throughout their system in Rockford, but the Hawks are just handcuffed by the salary cap. And definitely one of the things that, as you mentioned, a similar fate as in 2010, but in a tough central division, it's definitely much tougher this year than it was in 2010, 2011. It's a good possibility that with this amazing division that they could miss the playoffs.
Yes, I wouldn't doubt it, but I just feel like, you know, Joel Klembo is going to have the group of guys ready for the second half of the season. I think this first half of the season is just, you know, a training part of the season, so to speak. Maybe I'm not getting it out right, but pretty much this is their time to shine. He's giving his core young group of guys a chance to prove themselves, and if they don't, then they might not be here by the second half of the season. I think it's just a coaching system aspect that Coach Q is trying to put into effect, but just right now, it's not working. And as you mentioned, this division is absolutely unbelievable. And I don't think that if the Hawks can keep up, you know, all the buzz in Chicago, I don't think that they'll be making the playoffs, as you said.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's a tough thing. Andrew Shaw said after the game that the Hawks were in this position last season to start off the year. And, you know, if they're confident enough to say, hey, we can follow the same road as we did last season this season, then all the power to them. It's going to be a long year. They're only 16 games in right now. So there's a lot of fluctuating that can happen in the standings. Some teams can drop. Some teams can rise. Right now, the Central Division is all rising. And any team on the outside looking in the playoff picture, even at this point in the season, even if it's early November, mid-November, it does become a little scary. You start to scoreboard watch a little bit more in February, but right now, with the Central Division just being as good as it is, you have to scoreboard watch even in November. This is the earliest I've been scoreboard watching in my hockey fandom. It's just an unbelievable division this year.
Right. There's a lot of teams that can make a lot of noise in the playoffs, and that is something that's great for the National Hockey League. Having a division like that, people are going to be watching your games, even if they're not a fan of them. You know, it's just seeing the talent in NHL this season. So anyways, moving on, the Hawks this offseason did something different than previous years. They did not go for any a lot of veterans in the free agency. And last season they signed Brad Richards, who proved to be a viable asset as a center. And then they picked up Trevor Daley this offseason, and he has yet to find his groove in Chicago.
Well, right now, they're just, you know, going into it, they were pressed against the salary cap. There's no way in hell that they were going to be able to make any flashy moves. They had to get rid of Joakim Nordstrom, I mean, Brandon Saad. You look back entering 2014-2015, signing Kane and Taves to those long deals for $20 million, $21 million combined. Obviously, they're worth the money, but, you know, you cringe at the salary cap figures of it and the cap hit it makes. So having those two players locked up for a long time is a good thing for the organization, but at the same time, it's a bad thing. You know, two players locked up like that, it's definitely handcuffs your depth a little bit.
You know, just relating this back to the NBA, I think that Jonathan Tate, Magic Kane, you know, just to save the core, just to save the future of the franchise, they have to, you know, talk to management and try to, you know, decrease how much money they're gaining, just like Dwayne Wade did with the Miami Heat and Kobe Bryant did with the Lakers, you know, just trying to, you know, limit how much money you make in order to let the team grow. And I think that's something that they might want to look into. It's easier said than done, but I think that could be a good strategy moving forward.
It's an unprecedented move in the NHL. Usually those contracts are locked up and aren't touched after they're signed. Those players feel like they're worth that money, and I'm sure they probably ask for even more. You know, you look at what Ovechkin makes, you look at what Crosby makes, they're making that money, and they definitely deserve it. But to see them decrease their pay would be an unprecedented move in the NHL, and it would be an outstanding move, maybe set a precedent for the other stars in the league to – maybe focus more about winning rather than having an extra $2 or $3 million.
Right. I think just, caring more about the team than how much you're worth could prove to be, a changing factor in the National Hockey League. So moving forward, just looking on to the rest of the season, who do you see at the top of the division by the start of the All-Star break?
By the start of the All-Star break, I would have to say Dallas at this point. Dallas is on it's on a hot streak right now. I don't see any sign of them slowing down. It may change after All-Star break as it usually does. There's always teams that fluctuate after the All-Star break. You can look at the Nashville Predators from last season, just absolutely average after the All-Star break, after dominating the league. So maybe Dallas, I'd say a close second would be Nashville, and St. Louis would be there too. I'd say that fourth spot would be a very hefty battle between Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Chicago, but the margin of points, point difference between those three teams are going to be very, very small.
Right. I can only see, at the top of the division right now, Dallas, Nashville, as you said. And just seeing, you're a big Nashville Predators fan. The Nashville Predators, they're on a mission this season. And I think that they'll definitely be a team to look out for moving on into the All-Star break of the season.
I mean, I made the bold statement before the season began. The Predators are going to win the Stanley Cup. I believe they will. I think this is the best team they've had in years. Last season they had an excellent team, but it was disrupted because of the acquisition of Cody Franson, Santorelli, and then obviously an injury to Shea Weber in the first round of the playoffs. Hard to win games. How can I forget to mention Pecorine's injury? When all those factors play in, the Predators just couldn't put it together when it really mattered. This season, however, they've got a deep lineup from top to bottom. Even their AHL players who have been coming up have been making a big impact. Just last game, not against the Leafs tonight, but last game against Ottawa, the fourth line consisted of two of which played in the AHL with the Milwaukee Admirals. They had 4 points combined. One goal, two assists for Austin Watson, then a goal for Colton Sissons. Extremely talented team from top to bottom. The defense is just stellar. It really is fixed in Shea Weber, Roman Josi, Seth Jones, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, and Barrett Jackman. Just an outstanding team from top to bottom, and I'm excited to see what they can do for the rest of the season.
I think you just wrote a very great love note to your Nashville Predators team.
I did.
Yes, and I wish I felt that way about my Chicago Blackhawks right now, but there's just so much time left in the season. Thankfully, it's an 82-game season, and there's a lot of improvement. And hopefully, both teams are in it come April, I believe. Yes.
April.
Hopefully we'll be watching the game, rooting against the other team. So thanks for joining me today, Colin.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, definitely. So thanks for listening to the show, and we'll catch you next time.